That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the Pulse of St. Louis. Welcome to the Pulse of St. Louis. I'm Shirley Washington. You know, Governor Mike Parson was in town this week to unveil a plan to help fight crime in the Gateway City area. The action comes on the heels of several fatal shootings involving children. In fact, children in the Gateway City area are impacted by gun violence at an alarming rate. And research shows kids who witness shootings or know someone who has been shot suffer psychological and emotional trauma that impact every aspect of their lives. Joining me now, Erica Jones. She is a mom who has lost a child to gun violence, and she is an active community leader. Dr. Lakeisha Davis, she is a licensed professional counselor and director of children's services at Amanda Luckett Murphy Hopewell Center. And Dr. Lori Punch, a trauma surgeon at Barnes Jewish Hospital and associate professor of surgery at Washington University School of Medicine. Thank you all so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Erica, let's start the conversation with your story, because as I just mentioned, you lost a child.
Yes.
To gun violence.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
August 13th, 2015, my daughter Whitney Brown was standing on a sidewalk talking with her friend Devin Fletcher. Unbeknownst to her, a vehicle came down the street and started shooting. It was a blessing that I didn't lose three children that night, because I could have lost my grandson and my youngest daughter as well. It was a hurtful moment. I try to take day by day, step by step, because it's something that I have to deal with on a daily basis. It's not easy to function on a daily basis, especially when you use a child, because you have so much anger, so much rage, so many unanswered questions, like what could we have done? What did we go wrong? We start questioning our parenting when it comes to our children. And the first thing that I said was, God, why are you doing me like this? What did I do? You know, why did you take my child? And I had to deal with my faith, battle with my faith as well too, along with battling with issues of my mind.
You mentioned that you could have lost three children.
Yes.
That night.
Yes.
How were they affected by what they saw?
My grandson does not sleep with the light off. We don't celebrate 4th of July. We try to find other things that he can do besides, you know, hearing the fireworks. I try to reassure him on a daily basis that it's okay. You know, those are just, but, you know, he's still a child. He's still growing. He's not understanding those are, you know, for fun. My other children, one is diagnosed with schizophrenia. The other two is the same with me, PTSD, anxiety, depression. And if anyone knows how PTSD starts, it comes from being hit with something traumatic. And it just don't have to be one thing. It don't just have to be that situation, but we all are struggling. We still struggle every single day. If he doesn't see the sun come out, he cry, because he wants to know where's mommy at. We try to get him things that relates to her smile, him seeing things. When he see butterflies, he's happy, he excited. He'd be like, Nana, there go my mommy. And I was like, yeah, you know, just something that he can relate to and understand. But it's getting harder for him now, because now he's nine. More issues in school, more aggressiveness. I have to put him in a program, which I'm working with Corey K. Johnson, the pool program, who's working with me, you know, to get him things to do, because he's still a young, he's still a little boy, but pretty soon he's going to be a young man. And that's, I want to be a little bit prepared.
Right.
You know,
and we have to address those issues now before he becomes a young man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Dr. Davis, let's talk a little bit about how gun violence impacts children. We just heard Erica's story about how her children are impacted by this. Let's talk a little bit more about that from an expert point of view.
Yes. And unfortunately, this issue is on the rise, particularly in the city. So where I work, we service youth that are in North St. Louis City. And we have seen a significant increase in the number of children who are affected by gun violence. And so as Erica shared, some of the things that happen is that you will have nightmares, a startle response. Post-traumatic stress disorder can manifest differently in children. And so what happens is in a school setting, they are labeled as the kids who are bad because I can't express my pain in a way that you understand. I'm going to throw this desk and I'm going to hit this child next to me and talk back to the teacher. And so unfortunately, kids are labeled inappropriately when really they're suffering from trauma. And not every individual that experiences a traumatic incident will develop post-traumatic stress disorder, but we have to put those resources in place early to ensure that they learn how to cope without developing PTSD. And that's what's happening. That's a missing link.
And how do we teach our children to cope?
First of all, we have to help parents cope and understand what's going on. It can be difficult for parents to talk to children about bad things that happen. And parents assume that if I don't say anything or I ignore it, let's watch this show or let's go do this instead, that they're helping the child deal with it. When parents really need the resources to say, you went through something very difficult, we all did, and I know that you might be having some scary dreams and some scary thoughts. I want you to be comfortable opening up when that's happening to people that you trust.
Right.
So I want you to trust me. If there's a teacher at school that you trust, when you're having those thoughts, let her know so that she can help you get to a safe space. But more than anything, we cannot be afraid of mental health treatment. And there's this huge stigma in our community where you don't go seek that treatment. We don't tell people our business. We don't let strangers know what's going on in our home. And we do a disservice to our youth and families because there are people who are specifically trained to deal with trauma who are willing and waiting. Our agency, there are four of us trained to work with children who have trauma. And so the resources are there. We just have to make our community and our families comfortable reaching out and saying, you know what? Something's going on and I need to ask someone for help, and it's okay.
And we have a phone number for your agency, your place of business, so I want to put that on the screen now so that folks at home can jot down that number and call and get help if they need it.
Definitely.
Dr. Punch, give me a sense of what goes on in the emergency room, because I imagine that you have treated children who have come in with gunshot wounds.
Yeah, I have trained to work in adults, but frequently children aged 15, 16, 17 will be cared for in an adult trauma center. It's really interesting because even though they might have adult-sized bodies, they still have teenager-sized minds in terms of their development. And the way that trauma can almost arrest that development is profound. They come in and physically we, of course, in a team fashion, address in an orderly way, A, B, C, D. We have this cadence, if you will, to make sure that we stabilize them, control bleeding, make sure they're getting enough oxygen, get them evaluated, and get them as quickly as possible to surgery if that's what they need or otherwise. That part is effective in healing the body, but it is only the beginning of what the mind has to do to recover. And I think one of the things that I have talked about with, for instance, partners at the children's hospitals here, both in Cardinal Glennon and at St. Louis Children's, is how can we take care of adolescents after trauma? Because they really need, honestly, the best of both worlds.
Yes.
It's been really exciting to see the growth of the Life Outside of Violence program, which is focused on across the city at all four major trauma centers, adults and children, getting young folks into wraparound services immediately after they're recovering from trauma so that we can start to fill those gaps that can occur in their care.
And then what should be the first call of action after they've healed physically and gone through the surgeries and all that? What should be done next?
I have to say, you just said the idea that children have trauma. Even just the way you just said that, right? Do people even recognize the enormity of the impact on their hearts and minds, beyond where a bullet went, beyond where the cut went. I think the first step is to get people aware of how deep that bullet has gone. Mm-hmm. And so that means, you know, you're frustrated, you can't sleep at night, you don't feel like eating, you don't feel like going out the house, you're mad at everybody, or you just wanna cry all day. That's not just because you're crazy. This is not just because you don't understand. It's not just because you're mad. Your brain and your mind have experienced the same kind of injury your body has. True. You just can't see it. Mm-hmm. The way I describe it, it's like you stuck your finger in a light socket and you got completely overwhelmed with input, and your mind cannot order that experience as a safe memory, but instead lives it as an ever-present threat. The first step is just to make people aware and to take that burden off of them and say, listen, you know, this is not you. This is not who you are. You can be well, mm-hmm. and we want to help you. Yeah. And the way I address it in my trauma clinic when I'm seeing patients immediately after trauma, whether it's due to violence or bullet injury or whatever it is to ask them those simple questions. Are you eating? Are you sleeping? What are you thinking about? Mm-hmm. Where are you going? And how do you feel? Five simple questions that, for me, open a window that really are kind of a proxy for a PTSD screen. Mm-hmm. PTSD isn't diagnosed until 30 days after the mm-hmm. traumatic event, but the roots of PTSD start from ground zero, day one, in that moment. And I get a sense very quickly, mm-hmm. oh boy, someone's having a hard time recovering. Let's see where they are with these basic needs and make sure we're keeping on top of them for the development of actual PTSD.
So at that point, when you get the answers to the questions, if the answers are, no, I'm not sleeping, no, I'm not eating, at that moment, do you find someone like a Dr. Davis that the children are guided to, or what happens next?
I think immediate action is necessary, right? So I'm gonna give them in the clinic right then, right there, mm-hmm. some tools that they can use, whether it's introducing the idea of sleep hygiene and having a very mild sleep agent, even something like melatonin. Totally harmless, but can really help regulate someone's sleep cycle. I talk to them in terms of their eating. They don't feel like it. Okay, well, maybe we have to make it a little bit of a job. We have a plan. And so my job today is to get in enough calories so my body can heal. And I'll even write out, here's five different kinds of meals that you could get, small and accessible. I don't care if it's a milkshake with some protein powder, whatever. Let's just get something in you. Mm-hmm. You know, make a schedule for, okay, today, I'm gonna walk around the block if I feel safe to do so, or I'm gonna ride to the store and walk around this grocery store while my family member's shopping. Just having small goals. But then the next step is absolutely to refer to specialists who can do a much deeper dive into these issues. And I have to say, and I'll say this humbly, I don't know that we always do the best job of that. I don't know that we always connect those dots. Ms. Erica's shaking her head. Like, I mean,
Are we going to talk about it?
We don't always connect those dots.
Right.
And I think sometimes we don't realize the role that, you know, for someone like me, a trauma surgeon, your wound's healed, I'm done. And for me to recognize, no, I have a partner in the community. And that's a lot of what I'm hoping to see and see grow within hospital systems and for community partners to recognize where their services are most needed.
I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Got to take a break. Stay with us. We'll continue the conversation after this. Back in a moment.
To hear more, listen to the podcast. Just search for The Pulse of St. Louis.
Welcome back to The Pulse of St. Louis. Tonight we are talking about children and gun violence and making sure that they get the help they need to be well, mentally well, physically well, spiritually well. So I want to talk with you, Erica, about you as a mom. You lost a child.
Yes.
Did you have any resources available to you to help you deal with that devastating loss?
There was none.
None.
There was not a card that was given. There was not, hey, contact this number. There was no anything. Actually, I had a gentleman that was at the funeral home that says contact, gave me a card that was contact victims advocate or advocate victims, I might be saying
crime
it wrong.
Victims
crime victims advocate. That was the first time that I got a resource to go see. My job actually immediately referred me to a program that's within our company for me to go and talk with someone. So when we dealing with these type of things, we need every resource for whether it's myself or whether it's my grandson or whether it's my children. He sees four doctors, two therapists, social worker, and his actual counselor that he sees. So he sees four. He has two at school and then two when he's at home. So I have to deal with the mood swings. I have to sit down, and just like Dr. Punch says, and the other doctor, if I don't sit and talk with him, because we can get that confused with ADD, ADHD, things like that, but that's not the case. He doesn't use his words, so he's withdrawn. So unless I sit down and talk with him and get him to understand that Nana is here, just what's wrong? You could talk to me. You know, I'm listening, but I'm also hurting too, because I don't want to say the wrong thing to him, because I'm still hurting and I'm still dealing with the fact of I have to wake up every single day, see this little boy, this little face that looks exactly like his mother, and try to get him to understand everything is going to be okay. But I need to get him to understand it's going to be okay, just going by day. I don't say a week from now. I just say today is going to be a good day. So he says a creed every day, good day, no bad day, because I'm a leader, and a leader leads by example. Oh. A man that don't work, don't eat. A man that do work, do eat. So he's programmed, you know, to know those things. But I'm glad that his mother instilled that creed in him. But it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take a village. So it takes resources like Hopewell to be able to help the children that is need. It's good to have Stop the Bleed, you know, to come in and say, okay, let us teach you some techniques that you guys can use. It's good to have other resources like Darren Seal Sankofa working within the community, trying to get the youth to say, hey, here's a safe haven. Here's a safe place. Dr. Marty K. Casey, her Shore Me the Arts, Miss Regina Reed, Fun Without Guns. These are resources that are here in the community, but we still need that mental backing with us.
Yeah. Dr. Davis, let's talk about this, because that's an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. You've got mom who's lost her daughter, and then her grandson who's lost his mother, and they're both hurting.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand that PTSD symptoms do not necessarily manifest themselves in the same way in youth as it does in adults. So for adults, they may have depressive symptoms. Children may express their trauma in play, right? So if you don't pay attention, you may not see that I'm playing with these trucks and it's in a way more aggressive manner than, or I'm showing people dying in this truck scene, or if it's some form of sexual trauma, I'm playing with these dolls and they're undressed now, where that's not what I was doing before. And so sometimes we will sit our kids to the side and let them play on their own, but if we're not cognizant and not watching, we're missing the telltale signs for our youth. So we have to pay attention, but it can be hard when I'm going through this trauma as well. And so oftentimes our moms and our grandmas and our guardians, we put our health on the back burner, and we focus all of our attention on the children and the youth that are affected. But if you do not take care of yourselves as a parent and an adult, there is no way you will be in a position to help the child. And so I always encourage the adults who are taking care of these children, I need you to be able to acknowledge your own pain, your own trauma, and we need to be able to talk about it. So sometimes there may be a need for family therapy. And then sometimes there's family therapy and individual therapy for all of those who have been affected by the violence. But I do want to make an important point about the integration of mental health and medical treatment. That is lacking across the board in communities. Research shows that most individuals will seek help through an emergency room department, a hospital, or clinic, even when they have mental health or behavioral health issues. That's their first line of defense. So if those in that position, they're not like, you know what? I recognize this is a mental health issue. Let me call this agency. And so we have to do a better job of coordinating with one another to say, hey, you can call me and I'll have somebody over there to do an assessment. One thing we have now, we have an ERE program, which is emergency room enhancement. And so what it is, we have it on the adult side and the youth side. If someone comes through an emergency room and they possibly have any kind of mental health symptoms, they call us and we have a staff that goes to the emergency room and does an assessment on site.
Nice.
And then they start linking them before they're discharged. They start to link them to community mental health services.
And this is for adults and children?
Adult and youth, yes.
That's
and
awesome.
So I don't know if many people know about that resource.
They do now.
Yes.
They do now. Dr. Punch, give me a sense of some more collaborative efforts that are going on in the community and those that you are working with as
yeah.
well.
You know, as we're talking, the sense I get and I feel from people is that one person might be hit by a bullet, but 100 people feel it.
Mm.
And how we can support those 100 people I think is going to take the 1,000 people around them to pour in to that community. There are a lot of things that are going on, and there's a program that I'm working on we're slowly giving birth to, but have actually really already started seeing the fruit of it, and it's a program called UnGun. It's through Marty K. Casey's work. Dr. Casey started this, you know, a few years ago, and I've added to it some content as well as some other community partners, and this is the idea. When a moment of violence comes, there needs to be an immediate response, even maybe before professional help arrives. Right. That's stop the bleed, because I think everybody should know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Having the power to act and knowing what to do changes the story already, because instead of yourself feeling a secondary victim position, you had the chance to act. And I find that gives a sense of agency for people young and old. We teach this in a broad set of settings, our youngest participant having been 8 years old at one of our classes. And some people say, you know, you shouldn't be teaching that to kids. I'm like, well, tell that to the kids who don't have their classmates next to them in school this year.
Or their siblings.
The next step is to do the true UnGun process, as Dr. Casey puts it, in which you replace the impact of the bullet with positive experiences that engage the senses and the artist within. I, you know, might seem like, you know, in the world of medicine and science that I wouldn't appreciate, you know, what art can do, but it is an incredible healer. Definitely. And it lets, especially children, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. express what cannot come out through words.
Right.
And then the last step of that is to go out to a broader community and work on relationship and, in particular, conflict resolution. The inability to resolve conflict within and in communities and in, you know, small groups of people really has unfortunately fueled a lot of what we've seen in kids getting hurt this mm-hmm. summer specifically.
Right.
And being able to have an alternative action plan. And along with that, safe practices when it comes to risks for violence. So, you know, unfortunately, a number of the children who were hurt this summer were hurt through unintentional injuries. And I'm emphasizing that because I think everyone has got to stop using the word accident.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an accident. It is something we didn't intend, and therefore it's also preventable. And so using things like safe storage or gun locks when children are in the home can totally change and prevent that risk for those children in those homes.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on gun locks, because I think that is critically important that we have those weapons locked if you have them in your home.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Stay with us. We are back in a moment. Welcome back. There is a big event that's coming up that you need to know about. So, Erica, give us the details, the where, the when, the time, and all of that.
Okay. Voice of the Voices organization is a support group for mothers who have lost children to gun violence. It's every last Sunday of the month. It'll be held at the T. That's at 5874 Del Mar Boulevard, where any mother can come. It's at 5 p.m. For further information, if they need to contact or get any upcoming events from me, the number is 314-699-4936.
Say that number again.
314-699-4936.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you all
thank
so
you.
Much for being
thank
here.
You.
I
thank
appreciate
you. It's a
pleasure. And don't forget to call the Amanda Puckett Health Center, also Hopewell Center, also if you have questions or if you need information. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Pulse of St. Louis. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, download The Pulse of St. Louis podcast in the iTunes or Google Play stores. And remember, for news 24/7, download the free Fox 2 and News 11 apps. I will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.